turn to Proverbs 14, verse 34 and 35. That'll be our preaching text this morning. It's a very solemn passage, and the passage reflects how the preacher preaches it as well. And so it's with a broken heart and a solemn heart that I preach this message this morning. America, exalted or disgraced? Proverbs 14, 34 and 35. I won't ask you to stand. You've been standing. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sinners a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward the wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. We live on the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Yes, we have our problems. We've been truly blessed by God, but America is not the same that we knew 30, 40 years ago. It's not even the same we knew 10 years ago, 8 years ago, to be precise. America is changing before our very eyes. I'm reminded about what the prophet Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3:51. He said, "Mine eyes bring suffering to my heart." What we see today as we watch the news and read and look at this and that brings suffering to our heart. And what was happening in Lamentation, a lot of God's blessings and the preacher, they turned their allegiance and dependence upon God, and the weeping prophet Jeremiah saw the destruction and the degradation of the temple and the holy city, and he wept. The Bible is plain and it's direct. Those nations who know God and obey him and follow him will be blessed. And those nations who turn their back on God and live in unrighteous ways will suffer God's wrath and God's judgment. I want to equate this passage today in Proverbs 14, 34, and 35 with our dear beloved America today. I want to share the past exaltation of America, the present sin of America, and the present and future judgment of America. Let's look, first of all, at the past exaltation of America. Note verse 34a, righteousness exalteth a nation, and the king's favor is toward a wise servant. Now, you may laugh me out of the house today, but I believe that for at least 4 or 8 years, God has given us a respite, and he's elected a man that loves Israel. Yes, he's not a righteous man by biblical standards, but I believe God also uses people like that. It's all through the Old Testament. And there are a lot of good things happening. And I believe God has given us a respite for at least 4 years, I pray 8 years, of his judgment and the onslaught of those who don't like and love America. And as we look at the past exaltation of America, we see how God has exalted this nation. All of you went to school. We used to study history, right? Not revisionist history. And not a watered-down vision of it. But God has truly exalted this nation. The word exalted there in verse 34, verse 34, righteousness exalted of a nation, means to promote, to lift up, to bless, to extol. And I believe God has blessed our nation four ways. God has blessed us with prosperity. We are a nation of unlimited wealth and resources. We are truly blessed materially in abundance. And, I don't want to be too political today, but I'm saying we're doing good economically today, you know, with tax cuts. Even though there may be crumbs in some people's books, Trump says there's more crumbs to come with a second tax break. We are truly blessed. God has blessed us with prosperity. But I believe God has also blessed us with prestige. We are respected and honored and desired of by all nations. And I got news for the bleeding heart liberals and people on the other side of the aisle and those that hate America. They don't hate us. The other worlds and the terrorists don't hate us because of our privilege and our foreign policy. They hate us because of two things: our allegiance with Israel and our desire to help other nations. And God has blessed us with power. We're the only superpower on the face of the earth that is feared on the battlefield. We just come through 8 years of weakening our defense. But praise God, we have a president who wants to strengthen the defense of America. I still believe, like Ronald Reagan, our best defense is a strong defense, right? The best deterrent is a strong defense, and I don't think we can get too strong. You know, we all military supporters here. We all support the military, and it is a crying shame for the last eight years of presidency to send them off to do warfare with things that break down and equipment that doesn't even work. We are being blessed. I believe God has given us a strong defense. But God has blessed us with divine protection. And what I'm going to share with you today, I want to look at America from a biblical perspective and get out of it from man's made perspective, but from a biblical perspective. God has blessed us with divine protection. The divine hedges were up. Because we feared God, we were founded by Christian forefathers. And those among us who want to destroy us and call us imperialist and cause us to... y'all know what we've been through as a nation. The best way to get rid of what we really stand for is to tear down statues, to take down the founding documents. And any reminder of God's blessing, Antifa and the liberals and those who hate America want to get rid of. They want to get rid of it. Now, they hate our Constitution. I find it ironic when our president is trying to appoint constitutional judges who will interpret law by the Constitution, constitutionalist, to be accused of those who hate him as destroying the Constitution. I find that quite ironic, Brother Rex, that those who want to destroy the Constitution are accusing the man who wants to keep the Constitution about destroying it. And I don't think it's no accident that Kennedy is going to retire and our man is going to get to appoint another judge on the court. What am I saying? I know our hope is not in judges. Our hope is not in a president. Our hope is not in politics. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? But I believe God has given us a respite. And I believe that it's no accident. People want to destroy America. As Brother Rex said, when a 28-year-old female bartender who's a Marxist and socialist can get elected, there's something wrong in America. I thought you had to take the oath of office to abide by the Constitution. Am I not correct? And so I just don't understand. So that brings me to the second question. Why has God exalted us? Well, the word righteousness there in our text in verse 34 means upright or moral behavior. And I believe that our best homeland security is spiritual and not material and not military. The nation that fears and serves God has God's divine power upon it, verse 35. Now, I just want to share with you quickly four ways that God has blessed our nation. You know these. First of all, because of our allegiance to God. The founders of America were God-fearing people. Amen? It's all right to say amen. Okay. And Dr. J.D. Gray once said, among the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, 47 were graduates of a Christian college. Most were Christians before they landed on Plymouth Rock, he said. They bowed and thanked God, not for the Indians, for bringing them, but for God for bringing them to America and providing their needs and their provisions. That's what our kids are being taught in school. It's all about the Indians. No, it's all about a sovereign God who led our forefathers here to this nation. Amen? A noted secular educator once said, and by the way, especially in the pagan universities, if you think they're your friends, you're badly mistaken. They want to take your children's mind and warp it. You may not like what your pastor tells you today, but I'm telling you the truth. A well-known secular educator said, all children under 5 years of age are mentally ill. They are sick because of wrong ideas about the founding fathers, the belief in a supreme God, and America as a sovereign nation. It is the duty of secular educators to fix them. Fix them. And I believe God has also blessed America because of our allegiance to Israel. That's the biggie. A friend of Israel is a friend of God. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. God has promised to bless those nations that bless Israel and to curse those nations that curse Israel. And because we've been a friend to Israel, I believe God has blessed this nation. And then thirdly, I believe our allegiance to the gospel. God has raised up America as the main thrust of the gospel, getting the gospel in a great commission and a missionary thrust of getting it out to the nations. He has used America as a springboard, as a base to take the gospel to the whole world. Amen? And that's why God has blessed America. So that's the past exaltation of America. Now let's look at the present shame of America. Verse 34b. Notice that. But sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a shame to any people. Verse 35. But his wrath is against him that causeth shame. The word reproach, again, it means disgrace or shame. And I often refer to them as the sins of shame. And I'm going to share with you quickly five of them. I shared them with you before. The sin of secularism. Those who hate God, America, and us want to rid America of any belief or any mention of God. Pluralism gives rise to political correctness. And then to secularism. You see, this is the reason why we have what we have today, because we are no longer one nation under one God. We are many nations under many gods. And if you don't think that's a true statement, your head has been in the sand for a long time. We are no longer one nation under one God. We are. But when you got a pluralistic society, that gives away to political correctness because we can't offend anybody. It doesn't matter if we get offended, but we can't offend anybody. Well, I have never been politically correct, and I will never be politically correct. And y'all have already made a comment that you will visit me in prison. Amen? You will visit me in prison. And then there's a sin of sexual immorality, same-sex marriage, couples living together, sexual perverts and pedophiles. And you heard what Peter Fonda, who I never considered as an actor to start with, none of his family really, said they ought to take Barron and lock him up in a cage with a bunch of pedophiles. It takes a sick individual to say something like that. It takes a lost man to say something like that. Same-sex marriage. I believe when our court and our land licensed gay marriage, that was the death knell to our nation. And I believe it was. You had Roe versus Wade in 1973. That was another death knell. How patient is God going to be with our nation? And again, it's a solemn passage. And yet at the same time, we live in a great nation. A lot of great things are happening. But I'm looking at it from a biblical perspective. Any nation, as you study history, didn't last over 200 years that are doing the same things we're doing. The sin of self-indulgence and hedonism. The church helps here, acquiring and gaining things to satisfy self-gratification. It's all about things. It's all about what we have. And then the sin of baby murder, abortion, whether partial birth or whatever, or the morning after pill, just take a pill. Live like you want to. Promiscuous lifestyle, take a pill the next morning. I got news for you. Once those things unite, it becomes a life. Amen? And any pill that destroys that is murder, right? Roe versus Wade, 1973, legalized the Holocaust of infanticide in America. We're concerned about 2,000 who didn't even, half of them, come over with their parents from Honduras, Guatemala, Mexico, whatever. We're concerned about them, but we turn an eye when it comes to 60 million aborted babies. The sin of a social church, a lukewarm church that has conformed to the culture. You're not going to hear this message in every pulpit across our land today, but you will hear it in a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. Amen? Amen? A doctrinal, moral-compromising church. A church that has left the gospel for social reform. Listen, folks, I don't care how much you feed them, how much you clothe them. I don't care how much you build a house for them. If they die without Christ, they're going to hell. Amen? And then thirdly, we see the present and future judgment of America. I have people actually tell me God's not judging America. Well, God's judgment comes in two ways, external and internal. External, if you look in the Old Testament, you see God is always, when Israel got out of the way, he sent an invading army into their land. An invasion of a more godless people, as in the book of Habakkuk, when God sent the Chaldeans to bring judgment on his people, Judah. And it's my theory, it's my belief, that when a nation has troubles on the borders, it's part of God's judgment, because God is invading us with immigrants. You know, that's part of our judgment. I believe that. You know, I'm all for legal immigration, but I'm not for illegal immigration, right? And it's part of God's judgment. And we're not going to get a handle on it. Mark this down today, on this day. Somebody write it down. I wanted to put it in the minutes. The immigration crisis will not be solved. The hedge has been taken down. I believe the hedge was taken down, really. You know, you had God clipping the hedges with Roe versus Wade. You had it happening again, 9/11. You have it happen just recently with same-sex marriage, but I believe possibly the hedges are down. America is coming under God's present and future judgment. Our unrestrained and permissive sin is our judgment. Romans chapter 1, you want your sin? I'll turn you over to a reprobate mind, right? Our sin has become our judgment. Let me close with this. It is this God is saying to America. I believe this is what God is saying. I never have, never will be invited to give an inaugurational address or speech or prayer. I can't go pray the way some of the guys prayed. It is as if God is saying, you want to run this nation without me, then have at it. You want sexual perversion, then drown in it. You want self-indulgence, your blessings have become your curse. You want to kill innocents in the womb, their blood be on your hands. Church, you want to be like the world, I'll make you despise and disgrace before the world. You want to legalize marijuana, not stand with Israel, I'll give you open rebellion and anarchy, open borders and loss of nationalism. I praise God that for 4 years, hopefully 8, God has given us a man that is fighting against the tide and need our help. They may not serve us at their restaurants. They may boycott us from the neighborhood program in our, for those of you who live in what do they call those things where you got a bunch of houses? Subdivision. Yeah, see, I don't live in a subdivision. The closest one to me is... You want to do that? You want to obey their stupid rules, not fly the American flag? You want open borders? You're going to drown in it, right? We're under God's wrath because of our sins of shame. We are like the prophet Jeremiah. My eyes bring suffering to my heart. Look again at verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Is that true or false? 35. The king's favor is toward his wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. Is that true or false? True. Father, as our musicians come this morning, the altar is open for those that want to come and pray for America today. Want to pray for our president, our Congress, our judges. Lord, I pray you have mercy upon us. I pray you hold back the tide for a little longer. And I just can't imagine what this world is going to be like after the church is taken out. But Father, we want to pray for our leaders, pray for our president, pray for his family. They don't deserve this, the onslaught that they're getting. So the altars are open. If you'd like to come forward, we invite you to come, as Miss Wanda plays. We're not going to have a hymn today, we're going to have a prayer. Folks, are we concerned about America? His altar should be full. Brother Marcus, would you pray for our nation? And then Brother Ray, would you finish?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We just thanking you for this nation we live in. And I pray, Father, it is in our big mess that we're faced with each and every day. Lord, our children are getting killed in the schools, and our law enforcement are getting killed. And Lord, I just pray that you live on these lost people's hearts. They need to get their heart right with you, and Lord, and heed to you, Lord, and become a Christian and live the life that they should live. And Lord, and all this stuff will go away. And Lord, set an example in front of us so that we won't have this problem anymore. And Lord, I pray that the homes that they're starting to be raised in, Lord, they be raised in the Christian home, start from when they're born. Start as they get older, Lord, and then raise them in the right way. Raise them in the Christian home, as the Bible says. Raise them from the child in the way they should go. When they get old, they will not depart from it. And that's where a lot of the problem is starting, because they're not doing, the parents are not doing what they're supposed to do. Lord, I pray that you just bless each family today that's here, Lord. We thank you for these that are here. We pray, Father, you bless us here at our church. Bless our pastor and his family. Bless each church member here today, Father, and help us do the things that are right and pleasing to you, so that when that day comes, you call us home, Lord, and we can hear the words, "Well done, my faithful servant." And Lord, I pray that you just go with us today, that you just watch over us, give us traveling mercy, Father, that you just give us the right things to say, the right things to do, Father, as we come in contact with some lost person, Lord. Give us a good day now, for we ask it in Jesus' name we pray.
Father, we're so grateful to come and pray for our nation today. Lord, we have a great nation before us. We have a lot of opportunities, a lot of permissiveness. Yet we've taken advantage of it. Many people have. Lord, they don't want control. They don't want to be in your grace. They oppose you. And Father, I pray that you bless those that bless you and love you and care for you and curse those that don't. Lord, that's a hard thing to say, but I just pray you do it. I pray you bless us. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless us. Bless this country. If it continues to be strong, to fight against those things that are wrong, Lord, just continue to go forward. Forgive us where we fail you. And we'll praise you in the name.